I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, everyone, to the NBA podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. I'm your host, Munaf Manji, back in the saddle for another night of NBA playoff hoops. We'll get into the games here for the Wednesday schedule and the Thursday schedule. Five games between those 2 days. We'll briefly recap what we've seen over the first games one and game two of the NBA playoffs thus far. Get into our best bets and, of course, our player prop best bets. Get you guys a nice coupon code for the website as well, pregame.com. But joining me here to help me break everything down on the hardwood, I got my guy here with me. It's Sleepy J. Sleepy, what's going on, man? How you doing this Tuesday evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Trying to root some late winners in here in the NBA. Obviously, right now we're in the thick of the playoffs, so I'm pretty much in the thick of it myself, rooting in. I'm hoping and praying that I can go ahead and cash this Milwaukee Bucks Indiana Pacers over. So you may hear me screaming, crying throughout the podcast, but you know how it goes.
Yeah, definitely. It's that time of year where we're getting competitive hoops, hopefully to continue cashing tickets here on the NBA podcast. And speaking of cashing tickets, another winning episode for us, Sleepy, to start the round one, I should say, of the NBA playoffs. Let's quickly recap our picks from the last episode. 2-0-1. We did go on our best bets here. I did have, the Bucks on the money line in game one. They took care of business behind an incredible performance by Mr. Damian Lillard. Dame time, 35 points he scored in that game. An absolute brilliant performance by him. Got some support as well. Chris Middleton chipped in with 23 points in that game. And defensively, they were really good, were the Milwaukee Bucks, and they came out and made a statement. Held the Pacers to 94 points. 109-94 victory for the Milwaukee Bucks in the game against the Pacers. You had the Miami Heat plus the 5 in the first quarter, Sleepy, and I must say that this was probably the more luckier pushes that we have gotten as far as best bets go on this podcast, because the Boston Celtics came out and put up 9 points within a blink of an eye. They had 17 points through the first 4 minutes of the first quarter. And Miami then buckled down defensively, and they were able to come back and make the get a push, at least in the first quarter. 26-21 was the score at the end of the first quarter. And I vividly remember this because I had the Celtics first quarter team total to go over. Looked great in the first couple minutes there, but just absolutely got cold from three-point land. But fortunately for you, at least didn't chalk up as a loss and got the push there. And then quickly, I'll mention our player prop best bet, another sweat-free winner for us, Sleepy. We had James Harden over 17.5 points, and the closing number was, I want to say, 19.5 for James Harden. He finished the game with 28 points, had a great shooting night for the LA Clippers. Let's see exactly how it was really from the three-point line, honestly, for James Harden. 8 of 17 from the floor, but he was 6 of 11 from three-point line, also chipped in with 8 assists, and the Clippers got the game one victory over the Dallas Mavericks. They're Sleepy. So, pretty good start for us, at least for round one and game one of the NBA playoffs, my man.
I was really happy to see Harden go ahead and cash. Once he got hot from the outside, I think he hit one or two with like guys in his face, and I'm like, all right, he's going to keep continuing to go ahead and shoot this three ball tonight. Shouldn't have much trouble getting there, so I was really happy about that. As far as our best bets were concerned, Miami, I mean, they gave me fits right from the gate. Like you mentioned, Boston went out. I mean, they were like a buzzsaw in the first quarter there for the first couple minutes. But Luckily, Miami came back. They were able to go ahead and put their own little nice little run together, too. I think they went on like a 10-0 or a 10-2 run or something like that to help. But I'd rather push all day than go ahead and get a loser. So I was happy about that and happy that you went ahead and you cashed your Boston team total over for the first quarter. So that was nice. So it was a good podcast, a nice way for us to go ahead and get into these next games because we're going to do Wednesday and Thursday. So and we got a lot of games to get through. So feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, five games between the Wednesday and Thursday schedule. This is a time where we'll see the game twos wrap up and you'll have 2 days off in between for these teams before they play game three at the lower seeds home court, I should say higher seeds, however you want to say it. But a little bit of news here, Sleepy. Kawhi Leonard finally does return for the LA Clippers on Tuesday night. They were without him for, I want to say it was 9 or 10 straight games dating back to the regular season. They got a huge victory, like I mentioned, in game one behind James Harden, like we talked about, and also Paul George, Ivan Zubat, 109-97. I personally thought that they would have kept him out here in game two and give him a couple more extra days off before maybe bringing him back in game three. But I guess he was ready to play here tonight for the LA Clippers. And, you know, he's officially back on the floor here for the Clippers. Does that give you confidence going forward? I mean, obviously it gives you confidence for the Clippers, but I think at least for the game here tonight, and, you know, full transparency, I did bet Dallas in game two prior to the Kawhi news, but I would have, as a hot take as it might be, I would rather want Kawhi Leonard playing and me having money on the Dallas Mavericks, because it messes up the flow when you get a star player like that back and trying to maybe force him the ball and trying to get, you know, him acclimated back up to game speed and just shaking off the rust. And that can be the advantage for the Dallas Mavericks. And also the Dallas Mavericks had a really bad shooting night, especially in the first half. But for the future, I think this is great news for the LA Clippers in hopes of, you know, not only beating the Dallas Mavericks, but advancing to the next round here, getting Kawhi back here, Sleepy.
I thought about this for a little bit, and I thought about Dallas today. And I got to go back to exactly what you were just talking about, where it takes some time to go ahead and kind of get some of these guys back in the mix. And when I think about Kawhi, I think of him as more of a team basketball type of player. He's not a guy that's going to go out there, demand the ball to go out there and shoot, you know, 25 times a game. That just doesn't seem like that's the kind of guy that he is. And the fact that he sat out as many games as he did, I'm willing to bet that he's feeling 100%, because I think the Kawhi that you and I both know, at least over the last couple of years, that dude's not going to take the floor if he's not healthy enough to go out there and play basketball at the highest level that he can. So that's kind of what kept me off of Dallas today, is I don't think you will see that much of a hitch like we do with some of these other teams, because Kawhi's just that quiet dude that just goes out there and kind of does his job. I did think about that, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to mess with, you know, Dallas tonight. And I think the Clippers, you know, when they have Kawhi on the floor, they're just so much more of a complete team, a better defensive team, a better offensive team. It certainly helps their bench out as well, because you have a guy out there to absorb all the minutes that, you know, he wasn't able to absorb before. So I like this Clippers team with Kawhi on it. We talked about this team the other day, and I was like, I don't know. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to need Russ and you're going to need Powell to step up. But this guy completes the championship type of team that I think the Clippers can be. So that's just how I feel right now about the Clippers in general.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially in game two, how number one Kawhi looks and how the offense looks as well. But I think this is one of those series that we could see it get to six games at minimum, if not a game seven between these two teams. But we'll see if Dallas is able to bounce back here in game two, as they are playing right now a little past midway through the first quarter, with Dallas has a 1-point lead, 9-8, off to a very sluggish start there between those two teams in game two. So maybe let's get into the games here for the Wednesday and Thursday schedule. We have a pair of game twos on Wednesday night. And then for Thursday, we have a triple header with teams playing game three. And we'll just go chronological order. And we'll start here with the first game on Wednesday night. That is going to be game two between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Celtics -14.5 on the spread as it stands. Total is 202.5 in this game here. In game one, we talked about it, how the Boston Celtics just looked miles ahead of this Miami Heat team right now. Obviously, that a lot of that has to do with, you know, no Jimmy Butler on the floor. They're also still missing Terry Rozier, but they got the victory by 20 points in game one against the Miami Heat, 114-94. A great defensive performance by the Boston Celtics. And it was led by a very balanced team effort, I would say. They had six different players to the Boston Celtics in double figures: Jason Tatum, Porzingis, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Sam Hauser, and Al Horford coming off of the bench for them. But 14.5 is a number here, Sleepy. Game two, what are you thinking?
I want to go right back to that first bet that I made with Miami getting all those points in the first quarter. Do we really think the Celtics are going to jump out to a 14-0 run here again? I honestly don't think so. I think Spoelstra will have Miami in a much better groove, you know, heading into this first quarter. So I'll go ahead. I'll take those plus 5 points. But after watching Boston and after watching Miami in the first game, I honestly think that this series ends in four games. You know, you and I discussed a little bit. Maybe Miami can get a game from these guys, you know, maybe back at home. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win here on the road. You know, they're 15-point underdogs. But this Boston team's just too deep. I mean, they have four, five, six guys scoring double digits. They have four legit stars on the floor. And they don't ever have to, like, just rely on their bench to go out there and fill up the minutes, because they have four or five guys that are, you know, all-star level type players that are always out there on the floor at any given time. And it's like, hey, you know, we can rest too and leave Tatum out there, and we can leave him out there with Derek White or whoever it might be. They're just too deep. In Miami right now, without Jimmy Butler, they're just too thin. So I think this series ends in four. I think if you're looking to go ahead and make a series bet right now, if you think that Boston's going to sweep, the fact that they're up 1-0, you want to make this bet now before game two even starts, because, like I just said, they're like 15-point favorites. So more than likely, they're going to end up going up 2-0. If Miami gets blown out here, the series sweep bet it's going to be off the table. So if you're looking to make that wager, you're going to have to make that now. I honestly think this ends in four. I just don't think that Miami has the horses to hold up here, you know, against Boston. As far as laying 15 points, you know, I don't want to do that, to be honest with you. I think the best bet in this game for me is to go ahead and just play Miami plus the 5 in the first quarter, and then to probably just go ahead and play Boston right now to win this 1-4. It's just too many horses out there for Boston to go ahead and probably lose a game. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's just a huge, I think, talent discrepancy right now between these two teams. And, you know, I know that Coach Eric Spoelstra is one of the best at making in-game adjustments, but, I mean, I've mentioned this a lot, that this Boston Celtics team, they're just very, very deep. You know, guys that they have next to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they didn't have to be, you know, what Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis have had to been through the first two games of the series. And maybe a lot of that has to do who their opponent is. But Miami Heat, again, not having Jimmy Butler, who we've seen just had an absolute amazing run, not only last season, but going back to the 2020 season in the bubble, where he was absolutely fantastic. But it's just right now, it's a huge talent discrepancy in my eyes. So I think this Boston Celtics team, like you mentioned, they should get this done in minimum, I think, in four games. Will we be surprised if this gets done in four games? Absolutely not here. But I also do like the under in this game. 202.5. It's kind of telling that Miami right now, I think offensively, is very limited. And if Tyler Hero is going to have a bad shooting night, then you're relying on a guy like Bam to get you points. And he had a great game one, don't get me wrong there. But then after that, it's tough to see these guys step up on the road. At home, it could be a different story for this Miami Heat team. But I think the Miami Heat also climbed down on defense, and Boston does too. And I just don't see these two teams getting up and down the floor when it comes to pace. So it's 202.5 for a reason. I think this number does get under the total here of 202.5. Second game on the Wednesday schedule here, Sleepy. We'll go over to game two between the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this was one of the more exciting games on Sunday night to wrap up the weekend game ones. OKC Thunder in game one get the victory 94-92. They're right back at it here at home. Right now, the Thunder are a 7.5-point home favorite with a total of 210.5. Zion will continue to be out here for the Pelicans. But CB, what do we think about this game? -7.5 in favor of the Thunder.
I really like the Thunder in this one. I liked them in game one, and I'm actually glad that the game played out in game one the way that it did, how the Pelicans had a legit chance to go in and win that basketball game, and they led there late by a couple points, and then OKC came storming back, and they got a two-point victory, you know, when all was said and done. But I think that that's a gut punch to this Pelicans team, the fact that they came this close to going ahead and getting a win without their star player on the floor. And I think it was a slap in the head to OKC to say, you know, wake up. Like, these dudes are coming to play. We need to go and we need to put a better effort in, you know, for game two. So I think that that line, I think it closed at 9.5 OKC in game one. And I think after the game one result, well, now it's like, oh, you know, this is going to be a much competitive series. I like that. I think that's an overreaction now that this line's down to 7.5. I'll go ahead. I'll take OKC and land the 7.5 points. That blowout that I thought we would see in game one, I think that happens here in game two. I think we see a much better effort out of OKC. And I think that the Pelicans kind of just shot their load there in game one. I think they come up short. I think that they're just probably checked out here, maybe middle of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, saying, you know what? Let's just go ahead and get these guys back at our house and see what happens. So that's where I'm at here. OKC minus 7.5. I like it.
Yeah, and you ever see that in like that during that game for the Thunder in game one? Like this, that team looked like a team that you had players that were playing in their first playoff game, right? And this is one of the youngest teams in the NBA, if not the youngest. And you could kind of tell that it was their first playoff game, especially in that first half. But they really turned it up in the second half after they probably got the jitters, you know, out of it after that first half. It was a tie game at the half, 43-43. They came out in the third quarter, played some great basketball, scoring the Pelicans by 6 points. They did have a little bit of a scoring drought in the final couple minutes there in that fourth quarter, but SGA had a huge and one play that gave the Thunder the lead and propelled them to the victory against the Pelicans here. But now I think that they've, you know, gotten those jitters out of the way. I think they'll have a better shooting night here as well. Will the Oklahoma City Thunder? I think the one concern that I do have, and I mentioned this when we talked about the series, was that if they're able to limit the second chance opportunities for the Pelicans, I think that's where the OKC Thunder can really run away with this game. And when you have, you know, Jonas Valanciunas, who's having a great playoff run right now, I found us rebounding the basketball without Zion there, he's been great. But the Pelicans were +8 in the rebounding edge. They had 10 more offensive rebounds in game one, did the New Orleans Pelicans, 18-8 as far as the offensive rebound discrepancy there. Points out of the paint, shockingly, the Thunder were +6 in that category. So I think for the Thunder, the main thing will be rebounding. And again, when you don't have a true big man on this Oklahoma City Thunder team, which I would love to see them add going into next season, that's what I'm going to be looking out for in this game, that if they're able to really limit those offensive rebounding opportunities for the New Orleans Pelicans, and OKC can, you know, make it a one and done possession for the Pelicans. And I think that at that point, that's where they can create that separation for the OKC Thunder. So yeah, I like OKC early in this game. I would look at them maybe in the first half. I don't hate your look on the full game here as well. I think some of these tired legs will probably catch up to New Orleans Pelicans. And again, you're relying on guys outside of CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram to step up. I know Trey Murphy had a really big game shooting the basketball from beyond the arc as well. But I just think this OKC Thunder team is ready, you know, after getting those jitters out in game one. And just getting behind this crowd was absolutely fantastic for this team in game one. So I look at OKC Thunder early, and Sleepy, you're there with the full game with this Thunder team. Let's get over to the Thursday schedule. Three games on the schedule for Thursday. We'll start with a 7:10 Eastern start on Thursday. We've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are in Orlando with a 2-0 lead against the Magic. Magic are a 1.5-point home favorite in this game with a total of 198.5. The money line minus 120 for the Orlando Magic, and even money here for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if you take a look at this series, I mean, if you've been watching this game, obviously points have been at a premium, and it's just been really bad shooting, especially for the Orlando Magic side of things, where they really don't have, outside of Paolo Banchero, a consistent scorer. I know Franz Wagner is supposed to be that guy for this Orlando Magic team, And they really don't have that three-point shooting as well. I think that's really been the fallback for this Orlando Magic team through the first two games of this series. But they're back at home here, Sleepy, where they've been one of the best teams against the spread and straight up at home. Do you think they can get a win here and get on the board in this series, or do you think Cleveland continues to roll here?
Man, it's tough to take Orlando when you watch them play in game one and game two. You just wonder, do they have the offense to go ahead and get enough points on the board? Obviously, at home, they're going to be a little bit better here, but I think you and I would agree, like, Cleveland is far better than this Orlando team. I'll give credit where credit's due. Orlando's here. They're going to be at home, but when I look at these two teams, I mean, I don't think that Cleveland is going to end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think that there's a really good chance that they could get there, and I don't think Orlando has really any chance, you know, to get there. Maybe they can win one game in this series. I mean, I would kind of give them that. The wager I kind of want to attack here, though, is I want to look at the second quarter in this game. We mentioned that Orlando can't score, and it's not like Cleveland's going out there lighting up the scoreboard either. And I think we have a total in the second quarter that's, you know, a little bit deflated. So when these teams come out in the first quarter, yeah, they want to go out there and get their offense rolling, but the defense, you know, the legs are there. They're locked in. They don't want anybody to get any type of run, and I think the defense in the first quarter, you know, has been pretty strong, and I think it's loosened up maybe a little bit, you know, in the second quarter. But one of the issues that I kind of have with this particular wager is the guys that you're bringing off the bench are out there searching for shooters and searching for offense, and that worries me a little bit. And I think we've seen that in the first two games, and I think that, you know, the coaches are probably going to be like, look, we can't just go out there and just, you know, let our offense just die. And I think that's going to be the message that's sent. So I'm actually looking at the second quarter in this one. The total right now is 50.5. I think we can get over that. I'm going to make that wager. If I were forced to go ahead and pick a side here, I would take Cleveland. I think Cleveland comes in here with the mindset that they have to get one here, at least in Orlando, and the way that they're, you know, kind of playing right now, they're playing good basketball. I would look at the Cleveland side. As far as the total is concerned, it's down to what, like 198.5 right now? I mean, that's really low.
Yeah.
These teams haven't even sniffed that. I mean, they're not even getting close to it. So I would say probably under again, but if I'm looking at anything over right now, it's either going to be a player prop or it's going to be that second quarter at 50.5. So that's kind of my thoughts on that game as a whole. I think I'll probably end up with a couple wagers in this game once I really sit down and kind of iron it out, because I think that, you know, the fact that there's just such low scoring, I think that that's going to, at least guys like you and I are digging into player props, some of these guys' totals are going to be really, really low. They're just going to be over-adjusted. So I'll be looking at that for sure. So that's kind of all my thoughts with that game right now.
Yeah, game one, they combined to score 180 points. Game two, they scored two more points, 182 in game two. And I think that's the theme that's going to continue here. It's just going to be one of those series. I think the first one to 95 points is going to win the game. So again, I'm going with another total here in this game. I like the under 198.5, and I think it's just going to continue to get lower as these games continue to you know, go forward. And if it does wrap up in four or five games for the Cleveland Cavaliers, this Orlando Magic team, I mean, they have a lot of great young talent, but I think in the offseason they're going to have to, number one, address their three-point shooting, and also, you know, add scoring to this roster, because they have a solid foundation with young guys. But again, you know, we'll talk more about that in the offseason for the Orlando Magic. But as far as the game, you know, anytime, this has been a theme in the years past, and I think the books have finally caught up to it, Sleepy, and you could probably attest to this as well, that teams down 0-2 that have been really profitable in the first half back at home in those spots. And right now, you take a look at the game line right now, is -1.5 in favor of the Orlando Magic. And the first half line as well is -1.5 in favor of the Magic. So these books do expect, like us, that when you're playing with desperation, you come out of the gate behind your home crowd and you just play desperate basketball, you lock in defensively. So I would look at Orlando in the first quarter here. I'll pivot away from the first half. That number right now in the first quarter is -1 for the Orlando Magic. I think that they'll play really good defensively. And then I think that second half is where really the Cleveland Cavaliers have been able to create that separation against this Orlando Magic team. And they've been outscoring them, except in game one. But I just think that this Orlando team should come out like I mentioned, they've been one of the best teams ATS at home this season and very, very profitable in the first half as well.
I think one of the big things here, Manaf, is the reason why you're going to look at the home team is because the home teams in this entire playoffs, even the play-in, they've absolutely dominated. The road teams are getting absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
I think we've had, two games that the road team won the entire playoffs. So I'd be with you, go ahead and start looking at these home teams, first quarter, first half, to come, because there's just so much energy in the crowd and they're just so happy to be back home, especially, teams that are down 0-2, their life's on the line. So it's not a bad look at all.
Yeah, home teams were 12-0 coming into Tuesday night, including Minnesota winning on Tuesday night. But it looks like the Indiana Pacers are going to break that streak right now of home teams winning. They're up right now 121-102 with about 3 minutes and 44 seconds left. They have a 19-point lead. So looks like the Pacers will be that first team to get the road victory in the NBA playoffs here. And Dallas also right now at the end of the first quarter up by 4 points, 23-19. Getting over to the second game of the triple header on Thursday night, we've got the New York Knicks. They are headed to the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia 76ers, another team that has a 2-0 lead heading into the road here. Sixers, like the Magic, down 0-2. They are a 4.5-point home favorite here with a total of 204 in this game here, Sleepy N. For the Sixers, they really fumbled that game away in game two, to say the least. I mean, I know a lot of people were watching that game. It was a nationally televised game, but I'm not going to go through everything, but they hit two big three-pointers within the final, 35 seconds. Did the New York Knicks by Jalen Brunson, who hasn't been very good this series. And I think that's the scary part right now for the Philadelphia 76ers. He hasn't been shooting the ball very well. First two games combined, he's 18 of 55 is Jalen Brunson. But the other guys have stepped up. Guys like Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Isaiah Hartenstein off the bench. Defensively has been absolutely outstanding for this team. And Philly, they're back at home, but it's really been Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. And both those two guys are really compromised right now between Embiid dealing with a knee injury and Tyrese Maxey had that illness that he was questionable going into game two. But he said in his post-game conference that he wasn't going to miss the game, but he had an incredible performance. But they need somebody outside of those two guys to step up. And I've always said this, that role players in the playoffs especially tend to rise up at home. And I think the spot for some of these guys to step up, which guy is it? I don't know. But I do expect somebody to step up outside of those two guys here. But let's actually get into the game here. The spread right now, -4.5 as Philly looks to get on the board in this series against the New York Knicks.
Well, I guess I'll say it like this, is that there's really no excuse for Maxey, and there's really no excuse for Embiid. Maxey went out there and had 35 points. Embiid went out there and had 34 points. I think the excuse is that the Philly bench is absolutely trash right now. Like, your best player is Nick Batum. He's playing 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre, who's in the starting lineup, gets you 4 points. Buddy Hield, who you made this big trade for, gets you 2 points. They stuck Paul Reed out there for a couple minutes just to give Joel a little bit of a breather. Philly's a little shorthanded, believe it or not. And this is a tough series. This is like one of the Knicks teams from like back in the day when I was a kid back in the 80s. This is just one of those hard-nosed, we're going to punch you in the mouth and just see how many punches you can take. And eventually, they try to get you to go ahead and fold, and that's this Knicks team. They're not loaded with a bunch of stars right now. RJ Barrett's gone. Julius Randle's down. It's pretty much it's Brunson and just a bunch of, I don't want to say journeyman players, obviously a bunch of starters, but I mean you're not getting anything out of this team outside of a boxing match. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're literally trying to beat the shit out of you all game long. And they're doing a good job of that with Philly right now. I would look towards the under in this game. That's just the way I would look. I think that this is going to be another hard-fought battle type of game here. I don't know if I want to play Philly here. I guess I'll pull the curtain back a little bit, Manaf. So I had a really cold stretch there at the end of the regular season. I think I lost like 5 days in a row with picks that I sold. And that's uncommon for me. Generally, I could lose 1, 2, 3. Maybe 4 days, but 5 days, that's a little bit much for me. And I gave back a ton of units at the end of the year. I almost ended up back to even. I was up like 18 units at one point going into, you know, heading into the playoffs. So hit a little bit of a cold stretch, and I went out on a limb because I really liked Philly in game two, and I sold them as my playoff game of the year because I really thought Philly was going to win that game. And I didn't watch the end of the game. I turned it off because I didn't want to get too involved with it. I just laid there, and I had hoped Philly did something good, because at one point when I turned my phone off scoreboard watching, they were down by like 8 or 9 points or something like that. I'm like, here we go. I'm like, I'm going to get slaughtered for this one. And the other pick sellers will tell you, you know, the guys that care about their clients, that, you know, we're right there with you, and it sucks when we lose, and it's, you know, it's really, it's great when we win. So I guess what I'm trying to get to here is that Philly battled back, and they had a legit shot to win that game in a game that was just, it was tough. And I think that this is Philly's turn to kind of throw their haymaker now and get their fan and their crowd behind them. And I think that the news actually helps here, Manoff. The fact that Philly had a legit, you know, legit complaints about, you know, some fouls that weren't called there at the end of the game that cost them the game. Don't be surprised if Philly gets some early calls and late calls in this one to go ahead and try to get this series even. The NBA, they make more money when the Knicks and 76ers go 6 or 7 games. So I would play Philly here. That's just me. I thought that they were going to beat up on the Knicks because when I look at the rosters, I mean, they don't have a Joel Embiid. They don't have a Tyrese Maxey out there on the floor for, you know, for the Knicks. And I don't think guys like Josh Hart and DiVincenzo are going to be hitting threes from the parking lot again in this particular game. So I would take Philly. That would be the way that I go. But I think the under is probably a good look, too. As far as player props, I don't know how you go away from Embiid or Maxey, because those are the guys that are going to, they're going to take all the shots. So that's kind of where I'm at for that game right now. That's pretty much my thoughts. And if you guys did jump on my game of the year winner with Philly, I just want to say thanks. I know it was a sweat, not fun, but I'm glad we got it done.
Yeah. And I know you and I were talking about the sixth round. I mentioned that I felt like that Knicks number was a little bit of a stretch, and you 100% agreed with me on that. I think that the Sixers do respond in this game. I think you make a great point about what transpired at that end of the game, where there was a foul that was supposed to be called against the New York Knicks on Tyrese Maxey. And maybe they get those makeup calls here in this game. But I think this is a good spot here for Philadelphia, whether you want to take them in the first quarter, first half, or full game. I couldn't talk you off of either one of those. Philly has come out and played well in the first quarter, in the first half, in both of those games. And now you're back at home playing with desperation. I think that Philly comes out here and plays their best basketball here. And they have to, right? Because, again, you don't want to go down 3-0. But at that point, it's going to be really impossible for you to come back in this series. But I think the advantage in this spot here, and I'm going to go ahead and give out my best bet here, Sleepy, that's going to be the first quarter for this Philadelphia 76ers team, minus the 1.5. As my best bet, you know, a team that's going to be coming out here with desperation. And I think the key thing also is that you have 2 days off, like I mentioned earlier on the episode, between games 2 and 3, because you're number one, you're traveling back. You're traveling from one city to the next city to play games 3 and 4. That's only, I think, to the advantage of the Philadelphia 76ers, right? We talked about Joel Embiid. He may be still dealing with that knee injury. Gives him an extra day off. Tyrese Maxey, you know, came out and said that he was dealing with an illness. And in his post-game interview, he mentioned that he wasn't feeling good. He took an IV, took some meds, you know, tried to stay hydrated, but still had an incredible performance. So he gets an extra day off. And I've said this a lot. Role players tend to step up at home. And I think that somebody, whether it's Batum, whether it's Kyle Lowry, Kelly Oubre, something from Tobias Harris, positive, I think that's only going to help the Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey in this game here. So, and like you mentioned, love what you mentioned, that they may get those extra whistles kind of going their ways. And then at the end of the night, if you do see the Philadelphia 76ers shot a little bit more free throws than the New York Knicks did, I don't think New York Knicks did, we wouldn't be surprised because of what transpired at the end of game two. So I say all that to be on the Philadelphia 76ers in the first quarter in this game. That number is currently -1.5 over on DraftKings. And look, I mentioned the first two games in New York in Madison Square Garden. They were up at the end of the first quarter and 2-0 against the spread in that first quarter. A very small sample, right? But again, Maxey or Joel Embiid is going to play the entire 12 minutes in that first quarter. So I do like Philly for the first game. For the full game, -4.5. But I'm going to take my money, get in and get out with the Sixers in the first quarter. I would expect them to be up by at least 2 to 3 baskets here at the end of the first quarter here, Stevie. So I'm going to take the Sixers. That's my best bet, -1.5 in the first quarter.
I love that one. Like we were talking about, going back home, home team showing up. You know, you got the crowd support. I do think that this is like kind of like a perfect scenario, though, for you to go ahead and cash this one. You got to consider those fouls that were called. You know Philly's going to go ahead and get some free throws in the first quarter. And I think the guys that were ice cold, you know, whether it be Oubre, you know, maybe Lowry, maybe Tobias Harris, they're going to get their best looks in the first quarter, the shots that they know that they can go out there and make just to get those guys feeling good. So I think that they're going to run some scripted plays, you know, that are going to get everybody involved, and they're going to get the best effort and probably the best shot performance out of these guys to go ahead and start out this game just to get the crowd riled up and make themselves, you know, feel pretty good in this one. So I love this best bet. Kind of a little upset I didn't find it, but I approve. Good stuff.
This is RJ, and here's what I know for sure. In the last few years, there's been a change in what people wear. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe it's the evolution of things. I don't know. But what I know is this. There's a merging. The things that maybe before you had this outfit for the beginning of the day, then later you have another outfit. No. The lines, they're blurring. And you know American Giant is the company to help you take advantage of that. This spring, whether you're dressing for work, the gym, or happy hour, you'll have something you love in your closet from American Giant. Their classic full-zip hoodie is iconic, and it's the jacket that started it all for American Giant. It's a body-slimming fit with double-lined hood, and the reinforced elbow patches mean the hoodie will last. Find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use the code RJ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code RJ.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, let's get to the last game on Thursday night. That's going to be the Western Conference 2-7 matchup, the Denver Nuggets. They are headed to the West Coast to LA to take on the Lakers. Denver up 2-0 in this series. And another team here, Sleepy, that gave it away in game two, especially where they had a 20-plus point lead, did the LA Lakers in game two. And Denver Nuggets doing Denver Nuggets thing, staying composed, not panicking, chipping their way at the lead. And at the end of the day, Jamal Murray hits an incredible shot at the buzzer to give them the game two victory to take a commanding 2-0 lead here going into LA here. So currently right now, the Denver Nuggets are a 1-point favorite in this game here, Sleepy, with a total of 215.5. Not sure if it does make a huge difference for the LA Lakers, but they do expect to get Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt back. I don't think that really moves the needle a whole heck of a lot. But I do think adding Vanderbilt on the defensive side is going to help this Lakers team. But again, we've talked about, like we did with Maxey and Embiid, that LeBron and AD have been absolutely fantastic in game one and game two. D'Lo did bounce back in game two, but they need somebody else to step up for this Lakers team, whether that's going to be Austin Reeves, whether that's Rui Hachimura. Somebody has to step up and help these two superstars of the Lakers in AD and LeBron James. But -1 right now for game three in favor of the Nuggets here. What are you thinking?
I like the Lakers. I think that they figured something out when they went on that monster run. And I think they kind of just let their guard down. And you can't let your guard down against a guy like Jokic and that crew, because they're obviously good enough to beat any team in the league. So I think it was one of those situations where the Lakers kind of just fell asleep behind the wheel, kicked themselves in the ass, and now they're going to come back home. But we know what the Lakers do to win games. They get to the free throw line. So don't be shocked if LeBron and AD are sitting on the free throw line a ton in this game. And I think one of the things that really helped the Lakers out was the fact that D'Lo, you know, went out there and performed much better than he did, you know, in the games prior, because he was getting roasted on social media. So his confidence should be up here. I think the Lakers play much better. I don't think they let their guard down at all. And I think that they're going to try to, you know, go ahead and get back to one of those decent sized leads, and they're not going to give that up. I don't know who the referees are for this one, but yeah, I think the Lakers are going to get all the free throw calls that they're going to need in this one to go ahead and pull this one out. Nobody wants to see the Lakers get swept. The NBA doesn't want to see the Lakers get swept. I think you're going to get a monster game out of LeBron, and probably a pretty big game out of AD. I would really look at LeBron's points over, because, you know, when all hell breaks loose and the chips are down, even though LeBron at times will go ahead and pass the ball when it's the biggest shot, just in order for the Lakers to go ahead and continue to be in a game, LeBron's a guy that they're going to lean on, they're going to point to. So I would strongly look at LeBron's point total over. I don't know what that is right now. I'm guessing it's probably somewhere in like that 23 area. It's 25.5. That seems about right. I would maybe still consider going ahead playing that over. Maybe if you could find like a 23.5, 24.5. I think LeBron gets the 25 in this game. So that would be my look. I like the Lakers. I'm probably going to end up betting the Lakers and taking them here. Did you say it was +1.5 Lakers, or the Lakers laying a point and a half?
Lakers catching 1 point.
All right. Well, then, yeah, I would go ahead. I would just play them on the money line. See if you can get yourself like a +115. I would even consider maybe taking an alternate bet, maybe like Lakers -3.5, somewhere in that area. Maybe you can get like +160. I think they win this game with a little bit of margin. So that's where I'm at. I'm on the Lakers, and maybe I'll take a bite with LeBron points over.
Yeah, I think there's another game where I'm looking at the Lakers early. I can't trust them in the second half of games, and we've seen that in the first two games for this Lakers team. They've come out and played well, and I think that's something that's going to, again, happen here in this game for the Lakers, whether you look at them first quarter and first half. Would I be surprised if we see a friendly whistle for the LA Lakers in this game? No, because we don't want to really see those sweeps happening in the first round, right? Especially within a market like LA, where you have LeBron, you have Anthony Davis, you have Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. I mean, these are the stars of the NBA, the superstars of the NBA. You know, talk a lot about conspiracy. I'm one of those conspiracy guys. I think that you want to get as many games as you can out of these two teams, especially the LA Lakers, who are, you know, that big market team. But I mean, you look at it, right? The Lakers have had double digit leads in the first two games, and they just haven't been able to close it out. And that's something that they need to figure out sooner rather than later. It's going to be very difficult. I mean, I think it's really impossible now for them to win 4 of the next 5 games against the Denver Nuggets. But I think it has to start here in game 3 for the Lakers. So I'd lean full game here with you. But again, I'm just going to go in the first quarter, first half, get in and get out with my money, where the Lakers have been absolutely fantastic thus far this season, not only during the regular season, but also in the first two games against the Denver Nuggets. They're sleepy. So Lakers for me, first quarter, first half, however you want to dice it up there, and Lakers there for sleepy in the full game on the money line. Hopefully they can get on the board and break that losing streak of 10 straight against the Denver Nuggets, including the playoffs and the regular season of their last 10 head-to-head matchups. So before we get into your best bet for the Wednesday or Thursday card there, a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. Obviously, we're in the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, MLB's in full swing. The NFL draft is happening on Thursday night. Win totals have been popping up for the NFL as well. Spring football as well. And before we know it, college football is going to be here as well, for in a blink of an eye. But let our listeners know, what can they take advantage of right now on pregame.com?
Simple coupon code here for you guys. Go over to pregame.com, enter SHOOT10, that's S-H-O-O-T, 10, SHOOT10. You guys can save $10 off anything there at pregame.com, whether it be a best bet, maybe a game of the year pick, any type of like weekend package or anything like that. Again, enter that code SHOOT10, S-H-O-O-T, 10, SHOOT10, $10 off anything there at pregame.com.
There we go. Make sure you guys go to pregame.com. Use that promo code SHOOT10, $10 off anything on pregame.com. Sleepy, let's get into your best bet for the Wednesday or Thursday night card. Where are you going for your best bet?
I'm going to go to that Lakers game, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play Michael Porter Jr. under 26 and a half points, rebounds, and assists. Unfortunately for Porter Jr., it's been a rough week. His brother got banned from the NBA, and his other brother was sentenced to, I think, 6 years in prison because of a drunk driving accident that killed the lady. So you have to wonder where his mind's at. And coming into this game on the road, there really wasn't much of an adjustment from game two to game three. I don't know if they look to Porter Jr. in this particular game. I mean, they don't get any assists out of him. I don't know if you're going to get a lot of rebounds, you know, with AD and LeBron, you know, going ahead and trying to attack the glass as much as possible. I think you're going to have to try to get the points. But what worries me is that Jamal just went out there and had a really big game. He ends up hitting that really big shot. I think that gives him motivation to go out there and take the extra shot so they don't end up in a situation, you know, where they're down 20 points or something like that. And I think Jokic is just going to go out there and kind of do his thing. When you're going on the road, you rely on your best players, and that's going to be Jokic. That's going to be Murray. I think Michael Porter Jr., unfortunately, you know, all the crap that's gone on in his life over the last week, I'm not saying that he's distracted or it's going to catch up with him, but I think that's something that you do have to consider, you know, when you're looking at, you know, how a player might perform. Maybe he has too much on his plate, you know, with that particular thing. But I do think the game sets up for him to take a little bit of a back seat here. So I'm looking at his points, rebounds, and assists under 26 and a half. I'll go ahead. I'll make that my best bet.
There we go. Michael Porter Jr. under points and rebounds for Sleepy as his best bet. Again, reminder for my best bet, that's going to be the Sixers first quarter minus the 1.5 for game three on their home floor against the New York Knicks. So maybe one more order of business left here for the podcast, and that is going to be, of course, our player prop best bet for the next two nights in the NBA here. And I am going to hand this one off to you because you are the one that dug up this gem for us for our player prop best bet. So I'll give you the floor here. Where are we going with our player prop best bet?
All right, so we're going to go to the Miami-Boston game, and we're going to go ahead. We're going to play Nikola Jovic over 4.5 rebounds. I think that this number is just too low. I think there's a couple of things that are working in our favor here. Number one, his average rebounds on the year is like 4.5. And this number is set at 4.5. But when playoff basketball comes, the guys who are on the floor, your starters, they generally are going to get more minutes. Well, throughout the entire season, he's averaged maybe like 23 minutes per game. In the last game versus Boston, had 26 minutes. But what I watched with my own eyes, this is their number three player on the floor. Outside of Hero and outside of Bam, this is the next guy. This is the guy that could shoot the three ball. He can go out there and he can rebound. And when you look at the other forwards that are out there, you have Kevin Love, you have Highsmith, and you have Caleb Martin. You got next to no production out of those guys at all. So I think they're going to look towards Jovic here to go ahead and play more minutes. I'm going to say he's probably going to get 29, 30, 31 minutes. And if I could get that many minutes out of this guy, then it makes no sense that this number is set at 4.5. When you and I were talking, we were discussing all these other player props that we looked at. I asked you for a particular number because that's the number I was hoping to get, because I'm like, that's the number I want to bet. And when I said Jovic over 4.5, when I said is his rebounds at 4.5, you said, yup. I'm like, that feels wrong to me. So I wanted it at 4.5. I'll take that here at 4.5. I think it just makes a lot of sense that they just don't have any depth really on the bench. And this guy can shoot the three ball. So if they are down a little bit, it's like, hey, you know what? Go out there and shoot a couple threes, see if we can get us back into this game, you know, being that they're, you know, big dogs here. So I think 4.5 is just too low. I think the market's wrong on this. I think it should be set at 5.5. I will not be surprised if this number goes to 5.5 before this game tips off.
Yeah, and Nikola Jovic has been actually in the starting lineup for this Miami Heat team, and obviously that's due to the injury with Jimmy Butler as well. But like you mentioned, I think that this is a guy that's also blowout proof, right? Obviously, with a spread of minus 14.5 in this game for the Boston Celtics, I think that if they are down by 20 plus points with about 5 minutes to go, I think he's going to be one of those players that still is going to be on the floor. Hopefully, at that point, we won't need him to get another rebound or two for us at that point, because we've been really cashing our player props either by half or midway through the third quarter. But the minutes are going to be there, like you mentioned, because again, they are down Terry Rozier. They are down Jimmy Butler and Kevin Love. I think it's a bad matchup for him in this series. And he only played 13 minutes in that first game for the Miami Heat. So Nikola Jovic here, going back to the regular season, has gone over 4.5 rebounds in, let's see here, 6 out of the last 7 games. He's gone over in 3 straight games in all three games thus far that they played postseason, if you want to consider the play-in tournament as postseason play as well. 5 rebounds, 6 rebounds, and then 6 rebounds against the Miami Heat. Against the Boston Celtics in game 1. So with all that being said, we do expect him to see the same amount of minutes, maybe more, in this game. Another thing I want to point out before we wrap it up here, I don't trust Bam to get those rebounds. I think they're going to rely on him more offensively. And if Tyler Hero is having another bad shooting night, I think Bam is going to have to really be focused on the offensive side. And he's not been a great rebounder over the past several games. I mean, there's only been one game dating back to the regular season over the last 5 games where he's had more than 6 rebounds. And that was 12 against the Philadelphia 76ers in that play-in tournament game. So, you know, I think this is a spot here. It's a low, it's a buy low spot here. And I think we found a gem here. I know we're usually used to looking at some either role player or star player for our player prop best bet, but I think this is what I'm really confident, especially in a game where we do think that points will be at a premium and that rebounding opportunities are going to be there. So again, Nikola Jovic, best bet, over 4.5 rebounds for our player prop best bet. And hopefully we can continue rolling here with our player prop best bets.
You know, Manaf, one of the things that I kind of left out here was that one of the reasons why I like this is because I think he's actually had some really good rebounding games away from Bam, because he's played against teams that are out there shooting the 3 ball. So, you know, if you got a bunch of guys going to the rim, well, yeah, your center is going to get a lot of rebounds. But if you have a team that's out there gunning threes, well, it opens up rebounds for all the other players. Boston in the last game shot 49 threes. Miami went out there and shot 37. I mean, they put up 80 plus shots from the 3-point land. I think if this guy plays all these extra minutes like you and I think, if they shoot as many threes as they did in the last game, I just don't see how this number makes any sense. So I love this pick. Glad you agree. We're going to cash this one again.
Yeah, 17-2 of our last 19 player props. Hopefully this gets to 18-2 over our last 20 player props, and that would Sleepy put it at 90%. So hopefully that gets us to the window here, but I love this player prop best bet. So I think that will get us to the window. Hopefully, by halftime, if not midway through the third quarter. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Sleepy, anything else we want to mention to our listeners before we go our separate ways?
Yeah, one more time with that coupon code SHOOT10. Get over to pregame.com, use that coupon code SHOOT10. Make sure you guys save 10 bucks on anything there at pregame.com. Make sure you guys follow Manaf and I on X at SleepyJ_pregame at SportsNerd824. And one final update for you guys, since we went ahead and we covered Wednesday and Thursday game, Manaf and I will go ahead. We'll be back here Thursday night to do our weekend preview for the NBA.
There we go. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast feed there. And again, you'll get that notification when the pod does drop. And again, it's extremely important that you get to our player prop best bets as early as you can, because we've seen it that number always moves once we release it, for our player prop best bet. So again, make sure you guys get to it sooner rather than later. And that's why it's a great reminder to be subscribed to the podcast feed. All right, like Sleepy mentioned, we'll be back later this week to preview the weekend games 3 and possibly game 4s as well. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's win some money, and we'll talk to you guys down the road.